All right. Good morning, everybody. If you join me in a word of prayer. Father God, just give thanks to you this morning that we can seek your face, come to the EMP, and set this time apart to be with you, to start the day with you, Lord, and Lord, we just recognize that the best thing for us is to start our day like this, Lord, in your word, as we really just want to come into alignment with you and abide in you, God. And so, Lord, we just pray that the word this morning, it would just really settle in our spirit. It would be nourishment for our souls, give us purpose and direction in our lives today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read from verse 4 to 7. This is part 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. All right. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, love does not brag, it is not arrogant, it does not act disgracefully, it does not seek its own benefit, it is not provoked, does not keep an account of a wrong suffered, it does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence, it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And right now we are at part 8. Right now, today we're going to go over what is hope all things. Last week was believe all things. And they're kind of similar, a little different. And when we talked about believes all things, we're talking about really believing in people, thinking the best of people instead of thinking of the worst. And when we're talking about hopes all things, we're talking about being hopeful about a circumstance, a situation. In this context, when we're talking about love, I guess we're talking about circumstances of relationships, right? And when you're talking about hope, what is it? What is hope? And when we're talking about hope, we're really talking about an anticipation of the future, right? It's future tense. It's not past tense. No one ever says, I'm so hopeful of the past, right? It's always about the future. I'm hopeful for the future. And to be hopeful, it's important. It's something that is healthy for us, our mental well-being. And the opposite of hopeful or hope would be hopelessness, right? Also known as, I guess, oftentimes when you're in this state of hopelessness, then you would be depressed, right? And we know that is probably not healthy. And I was thinking, why do we think like this oftentimes, where we are hopeless? And how does, maybe in extreme cases, for instance, my mom and my grandma, they suffered from depression. And they shared with me, there were times, and this was like, for them, it was like more, I guess, how would you say, a clinical thing? But they would share with me, there were times where they're trying to explain to me, like, oh, you don't understand. Because I would always ask them, what's wrong? What's wrong? But they would say, oh, you don't understand. Sometimes I just wake up in the morning and it's just so hard for me to even crawl out of bed. It took so much will to even just get out of bed and start the day. And it was like this really difficult, like insurmountable thing that they had to do. So that would be like more of an extreme. But even then, how a lot of us would maybe operate in this hopelessness is we would manage our expectations, right? And often it's like, oh, I'm not going to be expect so much of the circumstance. I'm not going to expect so much of the relationship. You hear this, I'm going to focus more in the relationship context. But we do this with everything, right? Even like, oh, I'm not going to be so hopeful I'll get this job because I don't want it for a job interview. But even in relationships, if you're pursuing someone, right, maybe you want to manage your expectations and not be so hopeful. Like, oh, okay, I don't want to... I'm not even trying to think or acknowledge about my feelings. Or you could already be in relationship, right? But things are difficult. Things are bad. There's all these things. And you try to manage your expectations. So you just are not so hopeful, right? And so you don't really deal with the situation. And this is really not healthy, right? Or before I get to that, maybe you might even think, oh, what's the big deal with really managing your expectations? Is it so bad? Because if you manage it, then you won't get hurt so bad. If you manage your expectations, it's a good way to protect yourself. However, it's going to affect your relationship in other ways, right? And one of the ways is you don't even try, right? Because that's your way of managing your expectations. Or you always hear, like, as you're getting closer, you hear this a lot where people, because they're managing the expectations, trying to protect themselves, so they'll end a relationship really early so that they don't have to be hurt more with the potential that it will not work out, right? And that's really when we've lost... Can we turn this down a little? That's really what happens when we lose hope, right? We take things into our own hand, and this is what can happen. So what is, then, this hope that Jesus talks about? What is this biblical hope that's different? So, in the Old Testament, there's actually many words that express this hope. The two main ones are yakal and kava. And the word yakal is the word to wait, right? When you're waiting for something to transpire. The other word is the word kava. And so the word kava, the meaning is the word kav, which is a cord. And the word kava expresses this cord being pulled, and there's this tension. And this cord is pulled, this tension is happening to the point that it's about to snap, right? And it's kind of like this anticipation of this cord snapping, right? Maybe for me, I was thinking like, oh, I don't know if I ever really experienced that, where I'm pulling a cord and then you're waiting for it to snap. What I think of for me is a balloon, where I don't know if you've done this, but sometimes I don't have anything sharp to pop a balloon because I have so many balloons that if my kids always collect balloons, and they're all over the place. And sometimes I just don't have... I'm too lazy to get a pair of scissors to, like, pop it. And so I'll pop it with my hands. So I'm, like, squeezing it. And I'm also, like... just as it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter, my face is like, oh, it's coming, it's coming. And I'm waiting in anticipation of when it actually will pop, right? And so that's kind of the two most common meanings of what it means to hope, right? It's to wait, and it's an anticipation of what's to come. And that's what it typically means in the Bible. But then when we're talking about to wait and anticipation and have an anticipation. What are we waiting and in anticipation for? Right? That's important. And so biblically, we're waiting for a person. In the Old Testament, it was really waiting for God. That's what they were waiting, anticipation for. And how they achieved that, also, it wasn't just done blindly. It was they achieved this hope and this hope of waiting and anticipation by looking back. So how do you find hope? You look back to look forwards, right? You look back to look forwards. And example would, for a lot of Jews, they would look to what God has done. The big one is Exodus, right? When the Israelites were rescued, it seemed like it was impossible. How were they going to ever leave Egypt? And yet, God was able, right? You look at that situation, the people, they've given up everything, but all it took was God was willing, right? And so they look back to this situation, for example, and now they look forward, and now it is a biblical hope. And that doesn't mean that everything is going to work out either, right? Because it's a little different from optimism. And that's not a bad thing, too. What is optimism? Optimism is you look at the circumstances and you look at the possibilities and you choose to look at those possibilities and focus on those possibilities to see how it would resolve a situation, right? So it's very circumstantial. That's optimism. And I think of it's silly, but if you've seen this, there's this movie called Dumb and Dumber. And there's this one scene where, I forgot his name, one of the dumbs, right? And he's asking this girl that he likes. And he's like, what are the chances? He's basically asking her out. What are the chances of you and I working out? And then the girl is like, definitely not into him. And she says, one in a million chance. And he's like, yes! So there's a chance. There is even one in a million. And so this guy is obviously very optimistic. However, that is not what biblical hope is, right? It's not just looking at the circumstances. It's even when the circumstances are like, don't make any sense, you don't see any possibility, and yet you would hold on to the fact that God is able, right? He is able. And what we're really talking about is God's, especially for us in the New Testament, is God's sanctifying power. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is the word elpis, elpis, for the word hope. And Peter, Apostle Peter, he talks about this, the word hope, as a living hope. Paul talks about this hope, elpis, hope of glory in Colossians 1. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the elpis of glory. And so for us, we really look to Jesus, right? When we're talking about this hope, we look to what he did in the past. We look to his life, what he did on the cross, the resurrection, right? We look to him, we look to the past, and then we look forwards, right? And in this case, you know, even Peter talks about this living hope and how we are reborn. You know, we say born again, right? And so already we are new creations, right? We have the Holy Spirit in us who is constantly working, who is constantly sanctifying us. And so when we're talking about biblical hope, especially in the New Testament, we look to Jesus. And this is absolutely critical in the way we do relationships. Critical. Because what happens, here's the contrast. What happens if you're not operating in hope? If you're not operating in hope, you take things into your own hand, right? That's one thing that you could do. And so what will the relationship look like? It means you're trying to control people, right? You're trying to make the change yourself. And so you're constantly nagging people. You need to do this. You need to do that. And it's very unpleasant to be in that type of relationship. The other side of that is you just give up. I kind of referenced it. Instead of, it's always these two extremes, but they're both unhealthy. One is you're trying to control. The one is you just nothing. And sometimes we do that. We're like, oh, I just surrender it. But we're also surrendering not just the circumstance, we also surrender hope. We just surrender, right? So we don't even try anymore. And that's part of where we're managing expectations and protecting our hearts. And so what does it look like when we are really living out this hope in our relationship? Why is this something? Why does Paul talk about this as a part of love? Because if you are putting your hope not in the person and having these expectations that they must change, and you put that in God, put those expectations on God, where He's the one who's going to bring the change, the restoration, the transformation in the relationship, and you're expecting it from God, then it takes the pressure off to change someone. Instead, all you have to do is love and walk with them. That's it, right? That burden of them changing is not your responsibility. That burden is on God, right? And He is able and capable to change people. And so we just freely walk, and you know, and all the things described here, you know, being patient, being kind. Like, why do we oftentimes are unable to be patient? Because people aren't changing quick enough, right? I think of especially my kids, right? It's like, oh, gotta. And I'm not saying, but I think, I'm not saying we shouldn't discipline and teach people, right? But what is the heart that's coming out of it? And I've been challenged, especially by my son. I don't know where he got this from, but he will speak such truth. And he'll say stuff like, if I get angry, like, okay, so in my wife's case, she gets angry with her voice, and he'll say to her, hey, you're not, basically it's like, he's unhappy, and he says, you know, I want you to use your kind voice, not your mean voice. We're teaching him, we're disciplining him, but he can tell. There's a distinguishment. Even for me, I don't lose it with my voice. I'm pretty steady, but then I remember my son saying, I don't like those eyes. They're not kind eyes. Basically, I give him a look when he like does something wrong, right? Like, and it's that is not love, right? And we're not communicating that. And that's what God desires for us. And also, it's also a reflection of what we believe in God at the end of the day, right? When we take things into our own hands, when we've maybe just given up, it also reflects what we believe in God, which is, God, I can't wait for you. I think the timing, I don't know if you're really, we don't say this, but our actions reflect, God, I don't know if you're really capable to bring transformation. And so I need to take things into my own hand. And
Thus, we're not operating in hope. I want to invite Sybil up. Let's just take a moment. If there's, I'm sure there is, for me there is, right? If there are relationships in your life that maybe you haven't been so hopeful with, and it's reflected in your actions, in the way you've loved people, you've been trying to change people, nagging them, you feel so dissatisfied by who they are and the situation. Or maybe you've kind of taken a step back from it. You don't even try. You've already presumed the worst in this situation. You're like, things will never change. And you've lost hope in that. Here's what I want you to do. Just as I said before, how do you resolve this? You look back so that you can look forwards. Look back to God's faithfulness, what he did on the cross, his life, his resurrection. Look back into your life where God has been faithful, where he's brought transformation into your life, has already done so much. And recognize that God is able, that God is capable. God loves you. God loves the person, the people in your life. And choose to put that hope in God. Put that hope in Jesus instead of putting it in those people or putting it in the circumstances.
Star, all the heavens.
I was just, as we were worshiping, I was just reminded, maybe it's because of John Koshy's message on submission, he talked about Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac. And I imagine when that circumstance came, we were so amazed by his willingness to submit. But I imagine behind that submission, behind that choice to submit and obey, there was hope. There was hope. That maybe he didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but as he looked back, he saw the faithfulness of God. He saw that it was God who was the one who brought Isaac into his life. And I don't believe it was just a blind submission where he just turned off his brain. I believe that there was hope behind it. That there was a hope that, okay, I'm going to do this, but I have a hope in you. That there's going to be good in this. And so, Lord, we put our hope in you. We don't put our hope in just circumstances or just what we see. It's more than just optimism. We want to be optimistic. We want to see the possibilities, even if they're small. But really, Jesus, we put our hope in you. We look back, we see your faithfulness, and we know that you have not changed. You are constant. You are so reliable, so stable. And because of that, we put our hope in you. And Lord, as we do that, as we make that choice to put our hope in you, let it also reflect in the way we live our life, the way we do relationships. that we would not be the ones trying to bring change or transformation. It is not our sole responsibility. It is yours. And we are simply stewards to also bring that change and transformation. So Lord, we want to, I guess, have this balance or radical middle where it's not within our control at all. But yet, that doesn't mean giving up either. It means being led by you to really do it with a heart that is kind, that is patient, and just as in this passage, to really love, to do it in love, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Let's take time to pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are experiencing cancer. Let's pray for their healing, for strength, for also their mental health, and for hope in this time. Also pray for those who are suffering from illness but in need of word of salvation in their lives. Let's pray for their hearts to open. Let's pray for God to reveal himself in their lives. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God's 100% healing. Pray for those who are suffering from COVID. Let's pray for Thaddeus, Yiling, and Ollie, Mary and Solomon, and also PCM's family and P. Salamat's family. And also let's cover the frontline medical workers as well. Pray for their protection. Thank you. also pray for those looking for jobs. Let's pray for Sterling and Ian. Let's also pray for our city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, Wealth Gap, Revival, Churches, Sports Services Limited, Shanti, YWAM, Ga Catering, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. If you could also pray for the staff, P. Sam, P. Nate, P. Salma, P. Kim, P. Samuel, P. Ernie, Tim, Lisa, Mon, Rachel, Nan, Cadence, Caleb, Donald, Trish, Grace, Rachel, Chow, Wesley, and Ben. If you could pray for our staff, our unity, love for one another, and our that we would do excellence as well. Let's also pray for the hospitality ministry. Let's pray for the welcoming barista and logistics team. Let's pray for whether it be the leaders or the people serving, a real heart to serve and love and take care of people. Pray for the worship and sound and also the AV team. Pray for similar heart to serve, excellence. To pray for discernment with how to improve and what equipment to get. And also can pray for, we have some new worship team members that have just joined, so we can also pray for those new members to integrate and just be able to connect with the current team. Pray for the pregnancies at SP. Let's pray for Tayon, Hina, and just any others that come to mind. Let's pray for God's protection and strength for the mommies and the baby. Pray for just this time that they could really cherish this special season of just being pregnant. Also, finally, let's pray for our Tuesday evening gatherings. Let's pray for Helping Without Hurting discipleship course that's running today. Pray for a good, wonderful time of connecting, of God really leading and teachings. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, thank you for the word today to be hopeful. And yes, Lord, we want to carry that living hope in us wherever we go and whatever we're about to do. We know that your presence is with us. We know about your affections towards us. You love us. You are for us. And you are working in our situations. And because of that, Lord, we are filled with hope that we don't have to take matters into our own hands. We don't have to carry a heavy burden. It says that your yoke is easy and burden is light. And that's what happens, Lord, as we are yoked to you, Lord. And so we're so hopeful. If we take the time to meditate about who you are in our life, we are filled with hope, Lord. And just lead us this day, Lord, to really be able to love those who are around us, to be kind, to be patient, to think the best of people, Lord. And that we would just reflect who you are by our interactions with individuals, Lord. So just lead us and remind us, Lord, to really operate in love. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.